Well, good evening, friends. It's so good to be with you again. I thank you for joining me in this broadcast. As we draw closer to God and as we study His Word, it means a lot for you to be concerned about spiritual things, and I appreciate you very much. This evening, I want to talk about money and our relationship to money. Obviously, money is a very important part of our lives. It's the main reason why most people get up and go to work. We need money. Money affects every part of our life, from where we live, how we live, what we eat, what we wear, and it even affects which medical procedures we can have. Money's a very important part of our lives. And I think that's what Solomon meant when he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 in verse 19, when he made the observation that money answers everything. And obviously he's talking about the things we just mentioned, about how in this world it does affect many of our decisions and many of the things that we are able to do as people. But here's what we need to understand, and what the Bible tries to get us to comprehend, is as important as money is in this world, it's not the most important thing. That there are things in your life, and there are things that you own and you possess and opportunities that are before you and me that are of greater value than all the money in the world. And a couple of things to see that with as we look at this thought is what it says in Psalm 19 about the will of God. In Psalm 19 verses 9 and 10, that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. It says in verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And that's a good thought. That's a very comforting thought. To know that the word of God is of greater value than precious gold or fine gold, the rarest of gold. Highly sought after gold. The word of God is greater than that. And you and I have access to that. It's in our life every day. We have the ability to comprehend the will of God, to think on the will of God. And in thinking on the will of God, we draw closer to Him. And in drawing closer to Him, it affects our decisions in life. And based on the decisions we make in life, we will either be with God eternally or we will not. But even here, even in the type of life we live and in the pursuits we have in life, the Word of God, it surpasses money. It surpasses gold and the value that it brings us, the peace, the comfort, the hope, the guidance. All that is found in the Word of God. And we just cannot put a price tag on that. It should be of greater value to us than gold. Because you can have all the gold in the world, but if you're ignorant of God and His will, or you're not close to Him, of what value is all that gold? And that kind of goes along with what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, when He said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now think about that. You could be the wealthiest person in the world. You could be a person of great fame. You can have the entire world under your ownership. You can gain the whole world. And yet, if you lose your soul, what have you gained? What was it worth? What value were those things in this life? And here's what's so sobering about these thoughts, is that the wealthiest of people who have ever lived, I mean, the people who have had the most money, the most land, the most power, more servants than anyone else, a name that's known throughout the world, everybody who has left this world with those things, every single one of them, really every dead person would agree with this, but every single one of them would agree with these verses right here. Those who are in eternity right now, they would all agree that there is nothing in this world as valuable as your soul. There is nothing in this world as valuable as your relationship with God and the ability to spend eternity with God. That's how valuable we are. That's how important we are. That's how significant we are as God's creation or as people made in his image. And so just those two thoughts right there show us that there are things that are of greater value than money. That as important as money is in this life, it's not the most important. And there are a few other things that we can see from the Word of God that I want to encourage us with this evening. For instance, I hope we realize that the time we have on this earth is a very precious commodity. It is more valuable than money. And we need to understand that, that it is a gift that money cannot buy. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Steve Jobs was a billionaire, okay, the founder of Apple Computers, a billionaire. You use the iPhone every day. You have an iPad. I mean, he totally affected this world and influenced this world forever, or at least in our lifetime. He was a billionaire, but he died of cancer. Now you think about this. $1 billion, in order for you and I to spend $1 billion, okay? Because it's a number that most of us cannot comprehend. You have to spend $68,500, roughly that, a day. Okay, can you spend $68,000 in a day? Yeah, I think I could find a thing or two to buy with that. I think that's possible. Okay, well, in order to spend $1 billion, you have to spend $68,500, somewhere in there, a day, every day of the year for 40 years. That's how much money that is. Now, I might be able to get through a week or a month of spending that kind of money. But after that, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with all that money? $68,000 a day, every day of the year for 40 years. That's how much money that is. Steve Jobs was a billionaire. Steve Allen, who owned an NBA team and an NFL team. He owned the Portland Trail Blazers and the Seattle Seahawks, one of the founders of Microsoft. Billionaire. George Steinbrenner owned the New York Yankees. Billionaire. Again, these are people who had the ability to spend that kind of money that I just talked about. But don't you know, when it came time for them to leave this world, that money could not save them. That money could not buy them another second of life. That it was there was nothing that money could do for them. And obviously, we need to understand that if you and I have time, we have something that they don't have. We have something that a billionaire doesn't have. We have something that they would love to have more of, but they cannot. That's how valuable this is. You and I have something that money cannot buy. And that's what the Bible is trying to get us to realize in understanding this, in that there are some things that money cannot buy us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. And so, yes, there was a time in this world where we got to enter this world. We were blessed with the privilege of coming here. We had that time. That time came for us. And we're the recipients of that, and we're enjoying this life. And we have so many things we get to do in this life. But understand, there is going to be a time for us to die. There is going to be a time for us to leave this world, and no amount of money will prevent that from happening. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much land you own. It doesn't matter how many people you know, or it doesn't matter how many people you have on your side. It doesn't matter. There is coming a time when you and I have to leave this world. And so for now, we need to be people who appreciate that grand privilege of being here. We are so fortunate to have another day of life. We are so fortunate to have another hour, another minute, another second of time. We're so blessed. We're so wealthy for having that, because it is so limited. It is a limited commodity for all of us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, all things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So Solomon's wanting us to realize it doesn't matter who you are, what you have, or what you've done in life. One thing is coming to everybody. Whether you're smart, whether you're ignorant, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a person who is wise or a fool, it doesn't matter. We all have that moment coming when we have to leave this world, when we will have no more time. Time will be taken from us. And since that is so, friends, since that day is coming, why not appreciate this day? You know how many people would love to have this day? There are so many people in eternity who would trade spots with you in a second, no matter what issues you're having or what problems you're up against. They would trade their position with you in a second because of your advantage with time. You have the ability to pursue some things in life, pursue the events of life, but you have the ability to choose and obviously make choices that affect your eternity. But you're here. And you and I are here. We have one more day with our family, one more moment with people we love in this life, with brethren, with other people, one more moment to pursue noble interests, one more moment to pray and to talk to God by faith and in faith. We have one more day to worship him in faith, because you won't get this. Where you have sight, there is no hope. And there is no faith. And so this is a unique opportunity we have to worship God in this capacity. And time is affording us that. Time is allowing us to be in this world and to enjoy these things. And so I encourage you, listen, you may not have all the money you want, but you've got time, and that's of greater value than money. Well, not just time. I believe the Bible wants us to realize that a good name is greater than money. It's something we have to work at. It's something we have to protect, and we have to enhance, and we have to make an important part of our life to protect our name to the best of our ability. Now, we can be slandered, and there are people who can ruin our name wrongfully, and they'll have to answer for that. I mean, even Jesus was slandered. That's going to happen. But in terms of how we live and in the validity of what people say about us, we have control over that. We have control over whether or not we are truly good and we are deserving of that reputation, or if we have been a person who is a hypocrite. But we have to be a person who understands that. That if you have a good name, a name that people respect, a name that people trust, a name that people think of when they think of good things, you have great wealth. That's what it says in Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, this is coming from a wealthy man, Solomon, in writing Proverbs 22. He was a man who, at the time, he had all the resources. He was the most dominant person in the world. He had all the power, the fame, and the fortune. And yet he's saying right here, that stuff doesn't matter. What matters are things like a good name. And that if you lose your name, no amount of money in the world can replace that. That's how valuable that is. And we can gain a good name. Even if we had made choices in life where we've lost our name, we can still make choices, especially by the mercy of God. We can be redeemed from our sins, and we can live a better life. But see, that's the way we get good names. It comes from being a good person. It comes from being an honest person, a person of character, a person of good reputation, a person of integrity. That's how a good name comes. And that you don't want to lose that. Because there is such a thing as as making choices in life where our name is lost. And it's a very shameful thing to think about. You know, going back to a billionaire, I understand at one time Bill Cosby was a billionaire. And there was a time when Bill Cosby's name was associated with wisdom and wholesomeness and goodness and family and laughter. I mean, older people remember this. We all remember what kind of reputation that man had in our society and throughout the world. He was a man who had a name of honor. And yet a billionaire, even with all that money, it does not change the fact that he lost his name, because it was exposed that he was not the person he was portrayed to be. He was not the upright person that we all thought he was, that he was living a double life. And there's just too much evidence to dismiss that. But see, all that money cannot take away the fact that he lost something very precious. You may not have all the money you want, but if you have a good name, you're a wealthy person. If there are people who love you and trust you and respect you and turn to you and confide in you and trust you and imitate you, you're a wealthy person. I mean, would you want the name Bill Clinton? Would you want to be associated? Would you want that? Would you want to be known as Adolf Hitler? I mean, these are people that have money and had money, but that name, the honor is not there. The respect is not there because of the choices they all made in life. And that's what we have to understand. We can do the same thing. We can be people who make improper choices and affect our name. And we've got to protect our name. We got to do all we can to make sure that we have a name that is respected and a name that is love. And if we have that, friends, that is a very valuable thing. I suggest to us that the ability to serve other people is a blessing from God. That if we have the opportunity to serve other people, that moment is of greater value than money. Because the Bible says we need to think like that, that you and I need to be billionaires, but we need to be billionaires in good works. We need to be billionaires in serving other people and in having an abundance of good deeds in this world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in this great context of money, where he's teaching us to be people who are investing the wise things, the eternal things, and the noble things of this life. And so he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, okay, meaning that they can be taken from you at any second, and that's true. So don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And he goes on to talk about storing up for themselves eternal life and in the life to come. But you think about that in verse 17, that we don't need to trust in money, okay? Money can't save us, but that living God, our living God, he can do that. He can bless us. He's the one who can guide us and lead us through life and redeem us and give us hope and protect us throughout the day. That's the one we need to trust in. That's the person we need to give our life to and our heart to, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to have blessings that come from money. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. So let us not think that money is evil. That's not what this lesson is about, and that's not what these verses are saying. It's not wrong to have money. It's good to have money. There are blessings with money. But we just need to make sure we know who our God is. We need to make sure we know who we trust in and where our confidence is in. And where if we were to lose one or the other, God or money, we need to be people who understand we'd much rather lose money than God. God is everything. Our living God is the source of life, and he's the one that makes it all possible. And so I trust him. My love and confidence is in him, is how we're supposed to live. But in doing that, we need to be people who are rich in good works. Our God wants us to be people who are zealous for good works, that while we have that time and while we have that good reputation and while we have strength and a body and a mind and resources and the ability to help other people, we need to get crazy with that is what it's saying here. We need to be people who are just so overflowing with generosity and hospitality and kindness and goodness and sharing these resources with other people. Because again, we only get them for so long. We only get them for a limited moment in time. And so we need to be people who are rich in good works and ready to share, having money set aside to share, but not just money, but to be rich in good works and being people who may not always have the money to share with other people, but there are other things we can share with them. And we can send a card. We can make a meal. We can give a ride to services. We can call somebody and just listen to them. Let them bear their burdens and help them throughout the day. There are so many things we can do in terms of good works to help other people. And these moments are of greater value than money. We might say, well, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like serving. I don't feel like helping. I don't feel like sharing. You know, there are several thoughts on that. I mean, I don't think Jesus enjoyed the thought of going to the cross. I don't think he enjoyed preparing for the cross and the prayers he had to make and utter in the garden as he was sweating sweat drops of blood. I don't think he wanted to go through that. I don't think he preferred to go through that, but he did it. He did it because we needed that. He did it because he made himself a servant. And that's what Paul is saying in Acts chapter 20, that we should learn from Jesus, it's better to give than to receive. And that's what Paul understood when he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 33 through 35, I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what you see even in these few verses here is that a godly person is going to have a proper relationship to this world. Paul was a person who worked, and he provided for himself, and he made himself a servant to other people. And he did not take from churches when at times he could have as a preacher or even as an apostle, but he did not. Because of the stumbling block it may have caused other people. And so he sacrificed himself. But he said, the reason I did this is because I was imitating Jesus. Jesus taught me, and Jesus teaches all of us, that it's better to be a person who gives than to receive. It's better to sacrifice of yourself than to expect other people to sacrifice of you. Again, did he always feel like it? No, Jesus did not always feel like it. But he did it because it was the right thing to do. And he did it because it was more rewarding than anything else. And again, I'll say this. You may not have a lot of money, or you may not have all the money you want. But if you have the ability to reach out and encourage somebody, or if you have the ability to reach out and lift up somebody in helping them with what burden they're facing and alleviate their problems, you have something of greater value than money. You have the ability to give, and it is much better to give than to receive. Because in doing this, we're not only more like Jesus, we're emptying ourselves, and we're actually helping other people. And in doing that, more often than not, we help ourselves. It heals us. It blesses us to be a person of generosity who is rich in good works. And so, friends, that is a tremendous thing to have. And we need to be people who are mindful of that. And so there are things in this world, from the word of God to your eternal soul, to time, a good name, or opportunities to serve, valuable things, greater value than money. And so we need to pursue them, and we need to protect them and be mindful of them. But there's one more thing that's of greater value than all the money in the world, and that is the blood of Christ. that you could take all the money and all the gold and all the silver and all the precious things in this world and pile them all up, and they could not save one soul. That there was no way that all that money could redeem mankind from sin. We needed something greater than that. We needed God to come in the flesh, to send his son, who lived that perfect life and laid down his life in surrendering himself as a sinless person to pay for the debt of sin, to pay for the sins that we committed, to pay a debt we could not pay ourselves. And so the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so Jesus gave us something that money could not do. He gave us redemption. He gave us the forgiveness of sins. And it is something that is more rewarding than anything else in this life. If you are in Christ and you have access to this blood and have your sins forgiven, you're a very wealthy person. If you can pray to God knowing that he hears your prayers as a Christian and knowing that he forgives your sins because of the blood of Christ, you are a very, very wealthy person. And we need to be people who appreciate that, because the blood of Christ gives us forgiveness. It gives us peace. It gives us hope, things that money cannot provide us in this life. But it's only for those who are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you have not come in contact with this blood yet. You have to be baptized into his death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. And that's all part of the process of being saved. That if you never obeyed the gospel, here's what God wants you to do in order to be set free from sin. He wants you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, his Son, John chapter 3 and verse 16. He wants us to be people who turn away from every sin that we know of. He commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17 and verse 30. He wants us to have enough conviction to acknowledge that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then he wants us to be baptized in water, not because we're already saved, but in order to be saved, in order to be set free from sin. Acts 22 and verse 16 washes away your sins. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism now saves us. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, that by the Spirit we're all baptized into Christ. We are born again when we are baptized. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Or as it says here in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You do this in order to be set free from sin. That's how you get into Christ, Galatians 3 and in verse 27. So you may have been baptized in the past, but if you weren't baptized for those reasons, you weren't baptized into Christ. That's what Acts 19 verses 4 through 6 talk about, that you have to be baptized for the right reasons. And in doing that, you're baptized into his death. Romans 6 and verse 3, I already said that. And in being baptized into his death, you come in contact with that blood, and that blood sets you free from all of your sins, and you are born again. You start all over in your relationship with God. And friends, I'm telling you, that's of greater value than money. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have that, you're still broke and you're still lost and you are still unprepared to meet God in judgment. And then, of course, if we have done that, we need to be people who are faithful unto death, who, if we are in Christ and have the ability to have our sins forgiven, we need to repent of our sins. Make a commitment within our heart. We're not going to commit those sins ever again. And we confess that to God, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And then we pray for forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. And he can do that because we've entered this covenant with him through the blood of Christ. And so, friends, I hope we can see that there are things of greater value than money. We're wealthy people, and that's what I was hoping we can see through these verses this evening. We are very wealthy people to have God in our life and have all this hope and all this promise and all this ability. And we have time. We have time. Right now, we have time to make better choices. And may God grant us the wisdom to do that. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time you've given us to think on these spiritual things, to think on your word, which is of greater value than all the gold in the world. We thank you for allowing us to have this moment to think of the value of our soul, the value of time in this world, the value of a good name, and the value of serving one another. We thank you for that. We know that you are a living God, and you're the person we trust in. You're the person we love, and we know that you're the person leading us in life, and we thank you for that. We thank you for leading us to the blood of Christ that has forgives us of sin and has forgiven us of our sin, and we thank you for that. We praise Jesus for what he's done in redeeming us from our evil choices. We thank you, Father, for that hope of eternity with you. We pray that you please help us to realize the value of our soul and the value of being with you forever, and the great loss it will be if we gain this world but lose our soul. Grant us wisdom, Father. Help us to love you and trust you and pursue you with all of our heart. Thank you for giving us these words, and thank you for giving us this insight. Please bless all of us at this time. Keep us safe, keep us protected, and help us to be people who go about doing good. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, until next time, friends, I appreciate your time so very much. If I can help you in any way, please let me know. Thank you.